A beautiful and impossible forest, a place of ancient runes and latent magical ley lines. The kind of place where when you walk into it, you feel all its energies at your disposal. Of course, learning to use them was a matter of some study, but now you can carry their power with you, creating a cloak, a blending into the forest as seamless as anything else that lives there natively. And so, as you walk toward the site of today's particular study, a familiar ground, you garb yourself in air and light, impossible to see. You add another layer, blocking scent, even tactile sensation, layer after layer, in ways only you could know, ways you're quite proud of. You progress through the forest, moving along the path, finding your way, finding your bearings. It takes only a moment, and the familiar flourish of a particular bent tree allows you to vault off of it and hover above the path, moving on the forest's own currents. No footprints, no scuff, no marking. On your way to ruins whose alabaster columns stand unscratched by time, the front door of these ruins, a vast affair, marked with puzzle after puzzle. You know some of them are fake because you've solved them already. You know others of them point to the true answer. But getting inside this place, opening this door, has eluded you long enough that its pursuit has become something of a vocation. Therefore, you don't begrudge the difficulty, the long days learning the secret of this forest and how to use its energies, how to understand it, will eventually bear fruit. You know that. You feel safe and comfortable here. Where others have given up, you persevere. Where others have failed to find hidden magics, you discover them, internalize them, make them part of yourself. Your spells and wards are written down nowhere. They exist only within your mind. And nobody could find you to ferret them out anyway. So you walk onward, assured, hovering above the path. The door is quite so large that you missed something. There was a particular patch of runes you were going to study today, a puzzle that may finally be the puzzle. You studied it for a while before deciding on it. But someone is in your forest. Someone is there studying the runes. A human man. Someone staring right at them. This is an intruder. This is someone in your space. This is someone in your way. Your mind flares with a negative impression. But he has a little notebook and a pencil, and it's filled with very fine, very small handwriting. He's jotting down, he's frowning, he's concentrating. Maybe he can actually get the door open. And if he can, wouldn't it be just the thing to spring upon him and say, "This is your claim, this is your find, and whatever he has figured out, or whatever you leapfrog upon, you have more claim to this because this is your place." Yes, that would serve him right, and perhaps that's reason enough to follow. Your mind does veer to the possibility, the potential to finally have the door, your door, open. You don't know why you think that he could do it, where you couldn't. But leapfrogging off a new perspective is nothing to be ashamed of, and he has something to be ashamed of. He's in your forest. Instinctive, defensive, mind flaring to it. His whole body is covered in robes, and there's a palpable sense of power. Ley lines, no, he's not stealing from your source of energy, at least. But he certainly is standing there having carried his own with him. You look down at him as he scribbles something in the book. You float closer, trying to get a good look over his shoulder at whatever he's written there. But he turns away at that moment and begins striding from the door toward one of the nearby mirror pools. There are vast lakes and pools near the door. Whoever built these ruins did adore their fine landscaping. In this case, you watch as he walks over and begins to strip his robes and tools away. He holds the book in his hand the whole time, switching hands once one arm has been dislodged from his robes. To keep it always in his grip, you find it frustrating. You know he can't see you with your wards, with your guardian simplicity and ley lines, making everything pass through. Yes, there is so much power here that even the most basic of spells would be absolutely impenetrable to him. But add to that that you have found a new purity in this magic, a new type of ward, a new type of fending, of gaze and detection. Well, he just has no chance. Eventually you will pry whatever secret is in that book. You consider that after that you just have to wait until he leaves for supplies and cast mazes or guardian gias upon the pathways. Or you could even steal his supplies and litter them along the path as you are invisible. You could easily get him to go. You think that, but he's really staring right at the book. He's really focusing. Something in his head is necessary. You get the sense that whatever he's doing, it is the key. You watch. You see it shift. He's smiling a little. His clothes are falling away. He's going to go into the water with the book. He leaves everything in a pile on the shore, and you consider stealing it and leaving him standing there naked and foolish, but he's got the pencil. He's got the book. You need to see what's in there. You need to see what he's written. It's hard to tell if he really did smile, but if he figured something out, you need to get it into your head, and he's not going to say it for you. He steps into the water. His body's alluring in its own way. Muscle definition. The abdomen is practically chiseled and statuesque. His back is strong. He must have carried his supplies here. You didn't see a horse, after all. His pectoral muscles are pronounced, and his arms could likely let him lift one of the fallen stone columns. His frame is slender, though. A certain ectopic build is endemic to mages, after all. The magic keeps you narrow and hungry, but if he's hungry, it's been satiated recently. The power there is obvious now, but was hidden before. Like you, hidden now, you would be obvious, but the power of this place and your knowledge of it means you will have the luxury of observing him later. You're staring at the book. There is a particular power to his steps as he strides out into the water. He walks, pushing the water aside. Waves of it flow off him, so perhaps he's making more of a spectacle than he has to. Or maybe he just wants to keep the slight tide of the moon pool from pushing him away. Yes, that's the case. He's heading for a rock on a little island in the middle of the pool, a place he can set the book warm and dry. And he does so, his pencil still in hand, staring at it. He leans in and makes a few more marks. You hover over closer. Closer and closer still, hanging above the water, staring down at the page. You're getting close enough to make out words, or rather symbols. It won't take you long to decode this mage's personal shorthand, and then you will know. The lines seem lit up. The sun was going down, so maybe he has treated his ink to glow in the dark. But then, as you hover there, knowing you are unseen, there's a flare, a flash, a snapping of wards. The ley line energy in the area slams into your body and your guardian protections fall. There's a splash. Your mind is white hot. You're covered in cool water. Your wards are gone. Your enchantments defeated. You feel something grabbing your wrist. You are pressed to the very rock, the other side of the rock where he set down the book. You are pinned there. The water here goes up to your shoulders, even though his head and shoulders are above it. His hands are gripping your arms, dipping under, pushing you there, looking at you. I did not know there were water nymphs in this forest. He seems overjoyed at the look of you, staring at you in your wet clothing. He is simply talking to you now. He may have been pretending, but he's definitely in control, in command. He's confident. He's joking with you, perhaps. You demand to know how he saw through your enchantments. Well, I almost didn't. You'll have to show me how to work those spells. I can honestly say I have never seen anything like it. If they'd been any better, I wouldn't have been able to see through them at all. But I've spent my life learning. See the unseen, detect the undetectable, so on, so on. Never expected to see anything so beautiful, no matter how hard I stared. Beautiful? You feel the words leave your lips. Involuntary, breathless, try to collect your thoughts, but your hands are still pressed to the stone. He's holding you there. You're not used to being seen, being this close. So long in solitude, so long studying. You don't even know his name. He's still holding you there. You tell him, "Who are you?" You ask. "I'm Magnus," says the mage. "And although my master taught me to not let hidden ambushers walk free, I think I can make an exception in this case. You can't teach me while you're pinned against this rock, can you?" He lets you go, pulling his hands away from your wrists, moving back, giving you some space. You do notice something. He's not that tall, but near to the surface of the water. A rigid, impressive, lengthy shaft. He is erect. You try not to let him see you staring. That'd be letting him win. Of course, you tell him there's no way you'll teach him your arts, because you made them. You can't let it fall into the hands of someone who obviously just wants to see the unseen in people's houses, their kitchens, their private drawing rooms, their bathhouses. Well, it's funny that your mind should go there. I'm hurt. I would never use magical invisibility to sneak around and ogle at someone's naked body while they think they are bathing privately. How could you accuse me of something so dastardly? This leaves you sputtering, unable to come up with a rebuttal to your own actions, unable to think clearly at all with his incisive commentary and eyes boring into you. Impossible man, you let it come out of your mouth. You're just impossible. I'm quite easy. He raises his eyebrows suggestively. You think you can see his cock waving side to side. Could just be the ripples in the water or the tide he was pushing away earlier. You find yourself giggling, letting out a laugh when you see that, though. Internally, you berate. Why did you laugh? It's so stupid. But he has just been joking. Maybe he's being serious this time, though. Pretending you didn't hear the last thing he said about being so easy, you put on a seductive air, leaning back a little in the water, angling to show your chest, trying to get the satisfaction of making him lose his words. Maybe you could join each other in breathlessness right there, right now. You propose it suggestively. Maybe you could be convinced to show how your spells work, how they are tied, how to make them. But they're so intimately connected to who you are, it'd be hard for you to share them, to trust them with anyone else, unless you were very, very close. The mage stops smiling. He seems to consider, scratching his chin with one watery hand brought up from below, a strong hand that so recently had grasped your wrists. Really, I don't care one way or the other, now that I think of it. I would like to get close and get to know you, but even if you don't tell me your secrets after that, well, of course I should make it known I am keenly interested in knowing your secrets. I just won't and can't force them out of you. And then he takes control. He dives forward. His lips find yours. You feel him getting as close as possible, pressing your body against him. You do the same, pressing him to you, grasping, feeling along his chest and back, grabbing his shoulders, kissing, mouths mingling, tongues intertwined, lips touching. He moves you both toward the edge of the pool, the very edge, where the natural clay formations and the mud enter and turn into the clearest water. You come out of it then. He sets you on the edge of the pool, raising you out of the water just a little, onto a small promontory. He's right against you. You feel him taking control, gripping your thighs when he lifts you out. You think just enough to make your clothes slip off of you, the simplest exertion of air magic. You hear your clothes drop to the ground by the water, flopping away, moving away. Your wet hair pulls your head back. He lays you back on the cool, muddy clay, the edge of the pool. It's like the surface is pulling your hair, your shoulders, your back, pinning you to that spot. He leans down, kissing along your still clean and bare stomach, finding his way to your erect clit, diving in the length of his tongue, slurping along it, pulling it in. You can move your legs freely enough, wiggling your knees in the air, involuntarily shivering them, shaking them. Your thighs try to close around his head. There's nothing you can do for it but let the pleasure in. The sky is still blue, maybe shading to orange at the edges. The trees, the edge of your forest, is near here. You can't see him, but you feel it, that amazing bathing of heat and wetness between your legs. You feel your hand escape the clutches of the clay surface. You grab his head, pushing his mouth further against you, his tongue deeper into you as it slurps below your clit and into your waiting, begging hole. You feel his arms as they explore your thighs. Then they move up. His hands grab your breasts, stimulate your nipples. You're both going to get filthy here, but you don't care. In fact, it's hot and wonderful between your legs right now. The mud is seeping into your hair. There are little rocks in the clay underneath. Your head is stuck to the ground. You can't see him. You want to see him, want to feel him, see him surrendering to the pleasure as well. The pleasure of being there and of paying attention and of being hot and close. Think how easily he broke your enchantments and how, before you knew it, you were out of breath, unthinking, following, feeling. His tongue is moving up your body. You see his face above you. The licking, the slowness, you pull his head in, you kiss him, you feel his length pressing, guided right to your lips. You're certainly wet enough in every sense it slips within. The heat, the spreading heat, the jolt between your legs, outward, spreading outward, filling you, penetrating deep. You feel how he's pulling you against his body, making sure your arms and legs are able to pull him in too, leaving himself vulnerable and open for your soaking wet bodies to be mingled and merged. Your inner thighs are rubbing against him. He thrusts again and again, a smacking magnified by mud and water. The contact is making your whole body jolt. He's shivering a little too with the force of it. He breaks the kiss, moving his mouth against your ear, whispering. But it seems he has no words. His mouth opens in a mindless, thoughtless gasp. He's pressing. All you hear is his breathing. He's trying to find words. He's trying to pull air in. You angle your mouth toward his ear so each of you can hear the other breathing, breathing deep. He's trying to form words, but little gasps and groans are all that come out. The wet, squeezing heat between your legs is milking his thoughts, his body, his pleasure centers, and his length. His cock dry, your mind wet, his body wet, the two of you slick, muddied, desperate, sweated, mingled, merged. He looms over you powerfully, thrusting again and again, mindless, ceaseless waves of heat from between your legs. You get the sense he couldn't stop his hips any more than you might be able to stop the pleasure from taking you over. But what you can do is wrap your legs around and press your feet into his butt, pulling his cock back in you every time he pulls out, so the thrusts have that little bit of extra force behind them. Then, as you lay there in the mud, his knees in it, your back and butt in it, sucked against it, held down, he presses against you. You feel him. He's revving up. He's almost there. His balls are going taut against the base of his cock, slapping into your pussy. Your clit is rigidly erect, and the area just above his penis slaps it every time he hilts himself as deep as he can go and grinds there. He's getting close. You can hear triumph in his breathing. Even though he can't form words, he still feels like he's winning. And that's when you do the most difficult thing in the world. You pull your hips away in the mud. It takes force. It takes a little bit of exertion. His cock pops out of you. You feel it pop out. He opens his eyes wide, staring at you, mouthing blankly, deeply. You've pulled away from his ear. He can still hear you panting. He can see the ecstatic pleasure on your face. The sudden emptiness, though, taints it a little, and you groan. He lets loose. He can't hold back. He's spurting on your stomach, spurting just above your pussy, spurting blankly. His eyes are clouding over. He clutches you to him, moaning. He reaches one hand between his legs and begins to pump. You left him breathless. You surprised him. You made him gasp. You made him just as surprised and unhorsed and unable to think as you were in the moment your defenses shattered. You're still panting, groaning from an orgasm, almost uncompleted, almost disallowed, but you know you can get back up to it. And you hear a little jolt of energy in the air as his cock once more begins to flare, but it's still spurting, the warm signs of his desire, of his pleasure. His eyes are clouded and blank for only a moment. He didn't get the pleasure, the full experience. You look at him and say, "Now we're even." He leans down and uses those powerful muscles for the first time, gripping your hips and pulling you away from the mud. You feel the mud and water mingle with his seed splattered across your belly and chest. He turns you over, hands and knees in the mud. You feel it sucking your hands and wrists. You feel him lay the length of his recharged, re-energized cock right against your entrance. You're spread in this position, but he is so much taller than you that the tip of his cock points downward. It will hit the area just behind the front of your pussy. It will hit this place where your G-spot is on every thrust. He's angled downward. And then he begins to fuck. Long, hard, mind-filling thrusts. Your whole body, you go face down on your cheek in the mud, the clay, staring out at the lake. You can see the bit of pristine sky turning to orange, but that doesn't matter because your mind is turning to mush, to putty, to heated, white, hot, stars of desire. He thrusts and thrusts, filling you, fucking you, spreading you, making you feel it. Every thrust you can feel the little bits of his heated cum at the entrance dripping there, but you know from the way his balls are pulling up that he's got another longer, firmer, more fuck-filled plan for you. There's a lot more to it when you're stretched like that, his powerful hands gripping you. He reaches forward and pulls your shoulders up out of the mud. He doesn't let you go down. He turns your head, pulling your hair, making sure you're looking over your shoulder. He's panting. His eyes are wide and panicked. You imagine the same look as in your eyes. He's desperate for it, and his cock is being squeezed inside you, and you are feeling so much pleasure that you squeeze right back. You grind right back. You let your butt slap against the area just above his length. You let him hilt himself again and again. His balls are so taut, you can feel them against the base of your pussy, right underneath the hole, slapping every time that entire length goes as far in you as it can. You hear the sounds of copulation. Every filthy thought in your mind roots itself in this powerful presence, this looming, overbearing pleasure. But you're making him feel it, too. He's biting his lip. Now his mouth is hanging open, slack. Eyes clouded, misty, groaning. A smile comes over his face, but it is more full of wonder, more goofy than the domineering, commanding one before. Oh, he lets out a groan, a gasp. You feel it. You can't always feel it, but you feel the heat, the spurting of his cum deep inside. There's such a temperature difference between the cool water and mud and what he's spurting inside of you. Hot, long ropes of his cum far inside your pussy. The temperature changes enough that you feel fullness, you feel weight. You wonder if he enchanted it somehow, but you know he's coming. Hard, deep, hot, spasming. Sweat is forming on his brow. His mouth is opening and closing again and again. All he's doing is staring and shuddering, his shoulders shaking, his length deep inside. He looks down during this and manages to find words. He couldn't find them before. He couldn't find them when you were breathing at each other. You feel his cock spasming and shivering, the veins standing out, the length bulging with cum passing along it as he finds the words. "Come for me." He groans and hilts himself deep, commanding you, your mind numbing, your blankness deep, coming deep inside you. Come for me. His eyes are just vague and vacant, but his mouth can form the words. The most powerful, important thing he can think of right now is you coming, him coming, the sparks going up and down between your body and his, back and forth. Your brain is white hot. He's slumping over you, even his substantial strength briefly taxed by the way that your pussy clenches and squeezes around him, milking him, inviting him, making everything perfect. Groaning, he lays atop you and pushes you down in the mud, making sure that you're resting with your cheek in the mud of the riverbank, breathing deep. He lays atop you, breathing deep. Well, make sure you come back and visit me sometime. You still have to teach me what you can. Then he rolls off your body slowly, rolling to the edge of the lake, rolling a little further, rolling into the water. You see him laying on a wave. You see a wave pick him up. You see the water recede into the lake. His mingled fluids are still on your body. The mud and water is still on your body. And then he, before your very eyes, turns into water, falling into the wave, as the spirit of the waters in this forest returns to where he was. He watched you long enough. He said his hellos. And now neither of you has to say goodbye, since he wasn't really an intruder, after all.